This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy is under scrutiny after several former employees claimed he reimbursed political contributions by his staff. If true, it would be a felony. DeJoy denies that he broke campaign finance laws. DeJoy has a home in Greensboro, and while he was chief executive at New Breed Logistics in High Point, DeJoy and his employees contributed hundreds of thousands of dollars to GOP candidates, including former Governor Pat McCrory, Senator Tom Tillis, and President Trump. To be clear, it is legal for employers to encourage staff donations, and DeJoy certainly did encourage. The question remains, did he offer employees bonuses as de facto reimbursement for their political contributions? To learn more, I am joined by WUNC's politics reporter Rusty Jacobs. Rusty, hello.
Hi, Frank.
Jason DeBruin is here as well, who took a look at the numbers in this reporting. He's our data reporter and a fellow with the Guns and America Project. Hi, Jason.
Good afternoon.
Rusty, tell us about the claims made by the former employees at New Breed Logistics.
The claims are that Louis DeJoy and executives working closely with him encouraged and, in certain cases, reimbursed employees who contributed to the candidates that DeJoy and his subordinates supported, and then would give bonuses that essentially covered the cost and maybe even added some incentive, financial incentive, to those employees that contributed to the campaigns DeJoy supported.
Okay, so let's get a sense here of what is legal and what is not legal to do in a workplace. If you are politically active, you have a preference, you're a boss, what can you do, and what would you be not allowed to do?
Well, the statute is clear. In state law, no individual, political committee, or other entity shall make any contribution anonymously or in the name of another. In the name of another, that captures the so-called straw donor title given to this kind of offense. In that case, the illegal kind, employees would be urged, encouraged, instructed to give to a certain candidate and then reimbursed in some way or other. Again, the allegations by one named source and several unnamed sources in the Washington Post and the New York Times articles say that that's exactly what happened at New Breed, that people would give a certain amount of money and then they would get bonuses that covered that expense and added something. The legal version of what I just portrayed is getting employees together for, say, a cocktail gathering at the executive's home. A candidate like Governor Pat McCrory, for example, would show up, talk to people. There would be other people besides employees of the particular company. And at some point, everybody gathered would be encouraged to give, and they would do so voluntarily or not do so voluntarily. But there would be no kind of reward for supporting that candidate.
And I guess, I mean, I'm wondering about the investigation and policing of this kind of a law. I mean, you know, short of a memo that went out telling people explicitly that they would be reimbursed, I guess this would be a pretty hard thing to investigate, right?
It's certainly hard to prove in any kind of criminal investigation what people were thinking or what their motive was or why exactly they did something. In the end, you need an agency like the State Board of Elections, which is the agency in North Carolina that would investigate campaign finance violations, an agency with subpoena power to bring in witnesses and ask them to testify under oath. Then you might have people being more forthcoming about what exactly they were thinking at the time they committed a possible violation. And of course, you would need records, the ability to subpoena records to indicate whether people got bonuses and how clearly does it show a particular bonus cover the cost of a contribution. But in the end, you're correct. It is a very hard thing to prove.
All right. You did, though, put in some extra effort on the reporting side. That would be what federal investigators would do or state investigators. But on the reporting side, you did try to get some insight into the culture under DeJoy. What did you find out?
So I looked at the list of people who gave in the 2012 gubernatorial campaign for Pat McCrory. And I went down the list and I went to the addresses, the Greensboro area addresses on that list, and knocked on more than a dozen doors. As you can imagine, many people have moved on. Many people weren't home. And a lot of those people who gave as New Breed employees did move to XPO, which is a logistics company that acquired New Breed in 2014. And I finally ended up finding three people at home. One didn't want to talk. Two I talked to. They would not be recorded, not be named. They've been instructed by their current employer not to speak with the media. But I got the sense that it was clear the culture at New Breed when they worked there was a Republican right-leaning culture, and people knew that it couldn't hurt their corporate aspirations and their standing with the company to give to these political campaigns, and they did so. It was less clear that they were coerced or advised, urged, or ordered to do so.
Well, let's find out about how much was given. Jason DeBruin, our data reporter, is with us. And while, Jason, we don't know necessarily whether the campaign donations were reimbursed, we do have a sense of how much cash flowed out of New Breed. Let's start with the Tillis campaign in 2014. What did you find?
Well, he was one of the biggest beneficiaries from folks at New Breed and XPL, sort of lumped them together. Because that's right about the time that the acquisition happened. So in the record, some list New Breed and some list XPO. The Tillis campaign directly got something like $85,000, but then the Tillis Victory Fund, which is a separate committee but clearly also tied to Senator Tom Tillis, received about $200,000. So there's a good amount of money that flew or flowed rather to Senator Tom Tillis between the two organizations, but that's hardly the end of it. There's a lot of money, in fact, millions of dollars in total that have been donated from folks at New Breed, including, of course, Louis DeJoy himself, who's been a big political donor for more than a decade now to candidates as far back as Elizabeth Dole, George W. Bush, and on up through President Trump and other candidates right now for 2020.
All right, and Pat McCrory, the former governor as well, so that was all part of it. The timing, I guess, is the other thing that you'd be looking at. The amount is one thing. What do we know about the timing of these gifts?
Well, they did happen sort of in a big lump in 2014. Sort of to tag on what Rusty was saying about if perhaps somebody is holding a fundraiser, perhaps Louis DeJoy himself. One of the things that we wanted to look at are the dates on which a lot of these donations happened. And particularly in 2014, to that Tillis Victory Committee, almost every single dollar that was raised on just three different days, 2 days at the end of September and one day in early October of 2014. Now, again, to Rusty's point, that doesn't necessarily mean that anything untoward happened, right? I mean, if you, as we know, the culture was Republican-leaning, and there were political supporters there. And if you're the type of person who's inclined to make a political donation anyways, and then somebody at your office or your boss perhaps is hosting a fundraiser, well, it would just make sense that you would probably want to make the donation at that time. So that in and of itself doesn't prove anything nefarious, but it does point out that that this all did happen sort of in a very coordinated way, right, and that it was done on just those 3 days. And that was just for Tillis, but certainly the same was true for Pat McCrory and for other candidates as well, where in whatever year, clearly the biggest donations are for the year of that election, Tillis being elected in 2014, McCrory running in 2012 and 2016. So in each of those respective years, you see the biggest numbers. Same thing for Pat McCrory, where in 2012 and 2016, substantially all of his donations were received on just a couple of days.
Well, it's interesting because Louis DeJoy is a name that has become familiar to Americans as Postmaster General, and that only recently. However, North Carolinians will know his wife, Dr. Aldana Voss, who is also in the spotlight for conflict of interest. She served as North Carolina's Secretary of Health and Human Services, you will remember, under Governor McCrory, also nominated by Donald Trump to be ambassador to Canada this year. Rusty, what do we know about Aldana Voss and her role in any of this?
She did not play as big a role, and I think Jason could talk to this too, but she is not on these donor lists or on these campaign finance records as a major donor. Her husband certainly is and was, but as you say, Pat McCrory picked her to be his Health and Human Services Secretary. Again, somebody just looking at the numbers could say, well, there's a clear benefit, but it's not unusual to be appointed. She also was an ambassador in the George W. Bush administration. She, in fact, played a role, I think, as a vice chairman in fundraising for George W. Bush. So she was certainly involved and working closely with big-time prominent Republican politicians.
And these stories, I guess, all come at a time when a federal campaign finance investigation will not reach a conclusion before the election, very unlikely. But the allegations are part of a larger patchwork that has been accumulating around the story about DeJoy. Give us a sense of it. And obviously, the Democrats are benefiting by this, and they're pushing these stories, right, Rusty?
Absolutely. Tom Tillis is already fighting a tough battle against Cal Cunningham in the Senate race here. He's running for re-election. He's tied his fate closely to President Trump, who has stirred up a lot of controversy with comments about soldiers, allegedly, when he was visiting a World War I memorial in France, making comments about the military and its relationships to defense contractors. Tom Tillis has to face his constituents in North Carolina, a big military state. So he's got that. He has addressed the allegations about campaign finance violations by DeJoy. He has basically dismissed them, doesn't think there's a lot of credence to them, but has said and Trump has said this as well, he welcomes an investigation because he doesn't believe anything will be there. But what else is he going to say? And by the way, as a recipient of possibly, of possible campaign violations, he is not necessarily culpable. McCrory wouldn't be culpable. Only somebody who knowingly received funds that were, received as a result of a violation would be culpable.
Thank you both. Rusty Jacobs, WNC politics reporter, Jason DeBruin, our data reporter. Thank you. And there's more to come on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.